Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tenzil, the language of translation, and it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So yeah. This is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system. Our school system, Claire Muhammad School System, Claire Muhammad Schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding, and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen. And grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjahad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com, or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, REDFORD, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. It is the praises to Allah,
The praise is to Allah, the guiding evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all of the worlds and all of the systems of knowledge. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. That is, I bear witness that there's no deity but the one deity, Allah alone, and there's none like unto him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And notice I said sallama. Many of us say salam. But that's a verb at the beginning of that phrase and a verb at the end. And that's a very rich phrase. Salla is a verb and sallama is a verb. So we are asking that Allah bestow peace after peace after peace after peace upon our Prophet forever and ever. I thank Allah for blessing me to be a Muslim here today, here in Durham, North Carolina. And I'm sure that you are full of gratefulness too, having understood that there's but one deity, the one and only. He has no sons, no partners, no daughters, no cousins, no associates. And to him is the dominion and the power over the whole universe, all the time. Allah says to us, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. And Allah has power over all things. There's no verb in that phrase. So you should conclude, and I should conclude, that this power that Allah has, it's at all times. The hurricane didn't go out of whack. Allah knew what the hurricane was going to do, you know. Allah knows that he has put a big ball of fire up in the sky, the sun, to nourish us. Could you imagine a big ball of fire going 12 miles a second, but contained within itself? Praise be to Allah. Allah reveals in the Quran, فَلَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ رَبِّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَرَبِّ الْأَرْضِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then praise be to Allah, Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth, Lord and cherisher of all of the systems of knowledge. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. To him be the greatness, the glory, throughout the heavens and the earth. And he is exalted in power, full of wisdom. One of his main attributes is Al-Mutakabbir. Mutakabbir, that is the one that has the right to boast of his greatness, but he does not. In fact, if you read the Quran, there's very few ayahs in the whole Quran where Allah says, I, in the Quran. He says, Innani, and Allah, surely I am Allah, and other ayahs, but very few. He speaks in the authoritative we many times. See how we sent down the revelation. Who is the ones that sent it down? Allah and all of the agents that he utilized to send down this tanzil, this revelation. Praise be to Allah. So we are thankful to Allah for having given us the light, and we thank Allah for the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'd like to begin the khutbah, my key message that I want to bring for you today, is on the Surah 48:29, where Allah reveals, Muhammadur Rasulullahi waladhina ma'ahu ash-shida'u ala al-kufari ruhama'u bainahum tarahum ruka'an sujadan yabtaguna fadlam min Allahi wa ridwanan sima'hum fi wujuhihim min atharis sujudi ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْءٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَزَرَعَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَاءَ لِيَغِيظَ I got it. Just take my time here. Bihumul kufara wa adallahu alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati minhum maghfiratan wa ajran adheem. Translated into the English language. We have it by Abdullah Yusuf Ali in the surah, as I mentioned, 48:29, where it says, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And Muhammad is mentioned in the Quran only four times. So if you want to believe that it's the non-Muslim, that Muhammad wrote it, you would think if he wrote it, he would put his name all over the Quran, you know? Again, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are strong against unbelievers. They are ruhama'u, that is compassionate and loving and kind amongst each other. Thou wilt see them bow and prostrate themselves in salat, seeking grace from Allah and his good pleasure. On their faces are their marks, being the traces of their prostration. This is their similitude in the Torah, and their similitude in the gospel is like a seed which sends forth its blade, then makes it strong. It then becomes thick, and it stands on its own sulkihi, its own stem. Now remember that word sulkihi, filling the sores with wonder and delight. As a result, it fills the unbelievers with rage at them. Allah has promised those among them who believe and do righteous deeds, forgiveness, and a ajran adheem, that is a magnificent reward. Praise be to Allah. Now this particular ayah, it has all of the Arabic alphabet contained in that one ayah. So you want to believe that Muhammad was so cognizant of the Injil and the Torah and all of that before him that he could produce an ayah? It has all the Arabic alphabet in it? I don't think so. And further, the word sulkihi is there. His own stem, talking about the blade that gets strong and it stands on its own stem. In fact, I heard Imam Waqi Muhammad say, not a grass seed or a grass blade grows without giving a seed back. Praise be to Allah. So this one cough in the word sulkihi is there. And if it wasn't there, what I just told you, all the alphabet in that one ayah, it would break down completely. Now, I can't speculate on why that one cough is there, but we do know that this Quran starts with the letter cough. I can say that to you. Praise be to Allah. I find that very, very fascinating to my spirit. In fact, there's another ayah, too, that has all of the Arabic alphabet in it, and that is Surah 3, verse 154. And you might say, how did you find this out, you know? Let me just tell you a quick story. I was downtown at the Renaissance Center in Detroit, Michigan, where I used to live. And they had a conference going on, and I didn't know the conference was going on. I got a mailbox down there, you know? So I went to this conference, and the brother was selling a book by Nursi. He's a Turkish person of high renown and high regard. And the book that he wrote is called The Word. And I didn't really want to buy the book. I looked at the content and I didn't see a whole lot that seemed to stimulate me. But Allah would have me to buy it, and I took it home and it mentioned the verse 3154 out of the Quran. So I was fascinated by that, and I began to tell people wherever I would go, as I'm telling you today. And a brother told me when I was on the road, and there's another one too. And he gave me the surah 48:29. And perhaps there may be some more. Allah knows best. So as I stand before you, I see a lot of ethnicity, praise be to Allah. And I love the fact that the Muslims who are really, really in the focus of what they should be, they understand that Allah has created us all from nafsin wahidah, one essence, and that one essence came into two, and countless human beings came forth afterward. Praise be to Allah. So in the surah 21:92, Allah reveals, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahidatan wa ana rabbukum fa'buduni." That is, surely this, you all's community, is one community, and I am your Rabb. So worship and serve me and no other. Now, if you know something about the Arabic grammar, the sarf, the qawaid, and all of that, you know that when Allah says, ummatukum, that means you are as one community. And then he follows it up with ummatan, which is also one community. Whenever you have a feminine T on the end of a word, it has to do with one of that particular thing. Like da'watun. That is one call. And it's not a call to division. It's a call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified and exalted is he. And then behind that ummatan, he says wahidatan. He's telling you and I in three successive words that we are one community. Praise be to Allah. Some of us haven't got it yet. So you know we're fighting one another in various places, whether it be local, international, wherever. So wouldn't it be a utopian situation if the Muslims are focused and knowing, that's my brother, I shouldn't do anything to harm him, I shouldn't steal from him, I shouldn't cheat on him, I should be straight, because if I hurt him, I'm hurting myself. And it reminds me of Rodney King. I don't know if all of you know who Rodney King was, but he was accosted by the police some years ago. And I always remember, he said, why can't we all get along? You know, he said it in a very heartfelt way. And I say that to you today. Why can't we all get along? Why can't we pool our resources together and get a TV network to fight the onslaught against this deen that Allah has given for the whole of humanity? I repeat, this deen, this way of life, is for the whole of humanity. How do I know that? Because we know that we're one soul and there's one God, there's one prophethood, one ummah. And Allah reveals in the Quran, "Kaja'akum min Allahi nurun wa kitabun mubin." No doubt has come to you all, what? A light and a perspicuous, a plain book. So this book is for everyone. So when I say that to you, this book is for everyone, then you know that we have many Muslims who don't even want to give a Quran to a non-Muslim. You know? We know that the Quran says, and none shall touch it but the mutatahirun, those who are pure. But it means that they can touch it physically, but are they going to respond to it and cause themselves to be purified, to be improved in their life? You know? So I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to give out more Qur'ans in your da'wah efforts. It's very, very essential. And you can give them for etiquette. This is an exalted book. You should keep it in a high place. You should have your hands clean and things like that. And when you look back at the history, we know that a lot of the Muslims were reading Qur'an and all of that, and they was high on what? Date palm juice, all kind of alcohol, fig alcohol, and things like that. And the revelation came telling them, y'all got to put that stuff down. And we know that they say that the streets of Medina had the stench of alcohol for many, many, many months. So we cannot have the mind that a person has to be purified in order to get this Quran. During the time of Elijah Muhammad, may Allah grant him paradise for the good that he did, they would tell us in the temples, brother, sister, if you want to get clean, you got to come where the soap and water is, you know? And I say that to all of us. This Quran is a purifier. It helps us clean ourselves up, inshallah. So continuing, speaking of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, إِنَّهُ لَكَوْلًا رَسُولٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is talking about Angel Jibreel in this particular point, but later on it's going to refer to Muhammad. Again, إِنَّهُ لَكَوْلُ رَسُولٌ كَرِيمٌ بِكُوَّةٍ إِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ الْمَكِينِ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٌ وَمَا صَهِيبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونٍ وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمَ وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. You probably detected from my presentation that I love those particular ayahs. Praise be to Allah. In translation, surely this is the word of the most honorable messenger, referring to Jibril, the carrier of this message to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, endued with power and rank before the Lord of the throne, with authority and faithfulness to his trust. In other words, we want to understand that everything that Allah wanted Muhammad to have, wanted us to have, Jibril, he carried it. Praise be to Allah. And then, referring now to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and oh my people, your companion, your sahibatun, is not crazy, he's not possessed with jinn. Without doubt, he understood the nature, I repeat, he understood the nature of the angel Jibril. Now, why am I saying that? Bil ufukil mubin. Ufukun means the horizon. It means that. So if he saw him on the clear horizon, it's suggesting clearly, just like you see the sun coming up. I see the sun coming up on the other side of the lake, you know. It's clear, it's distinct, you know. So understand that ufukun means also, if you look it up, to see something in all of its nature, in all of its parts. And that's not hard for us to understand, because he had what? A relationship with the angel Jibril for how many years? 23 years. And not only that, Allah speaks of Adam in the Baqarah, telling you and I that he taught Adam the nature of all of it. Kullaha, all of it. So this kullaha, if you're thinking, Allah is telling you and I that this Adam, you and I, have the ability to understand the nature of the samawat, the whole universe. That's a powerful thing. So you have any Muslims running around with any inferiority complex? Let them know that. Let them know that. Praise be to Allah. Kullaha. So if Adam understands the nature of everything, then we know that Muhammad understood this angel Jibril, and we know too that you and I have the ability to make contact with this revelation and get some of this light to improve our lives and help the lives of others and become useful in the society. And we're not just talking about being useful from a spiritual point of view. We're talking about getting some money. We want to have balance. We want money, and we want spirituality at the same time. Praise be to Allah. And we know that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged and he endorsed that. But some may take this particular hadith a little differently. But you know the hadith in paraphrase said that a group came to Muhammad. They said, we know a brother who stays in the Musalla 24/7. I'm sure he didn't say that, but we know we use that today, and right away when I say 24/7, you know what that means, right? All the time, right? And the prophet said, oh yeah? Oh. So he asked the question, who feeds them? And the ones that brought the message, the carriers of the message to Muhammad, they say, we do. And what did the prophet reply? What was his reply, pardon me? Then you all are better than him. So why did the prophet say that you all are better than him? Because they must have been making their shalat, keeping their devotion between business deals, because they had the wherewithal to feed this man, so they had a balance. They were getting money, but they also kept their focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we as Muslims want to be. We want to get our share, as Imam Muhammad said so many times, of the dunya. Don't forget your share. And we encourage us to get as much as we can. The more money we have, the more zakat we can give. And we know that money does help the human life. And Allah has said that he has given all of this to his ibad. But he blinds a lot of the unbelievers with material success, you know. In fact, we know Allah has the ayah in the Quran where it says, if it wasn't for the possibility that you good people, you righteous people, would lose your righteousness and start going toward material, he said he would have gave all of the disbelievers houses with what? Silver roofs. He would have gave all of them houses with silver roofs. Talking about the unbelievers, right? Praise be to Allah. So in continuing here, we know that Muhammad, after receiving this message, he was not stingy. He rushed to Khadija. He rushed to Bilal and Ali and Abu Bakr, wanting to deliver the message of Al-Islam to the people. So I say that to you. If you have any knowledge of Islam, you should not be stingy. You should give the highest knowledge that you have and break it down in the simplest terms. Perchance the people will respond. Praise be to Allah. So Allah asks the question, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَاللَّهُ كَانَ مِنْ إِنْدِ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ فَمِنْ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ وَجَدُوا فِي اِكْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah asks you and I the question, and why do they not ponder and research this Quran? Speaking directly to the unbelievers, but also us. Why don't we ponder this Quran? Why don't we all, I repeat, why don't we all become students of the Arabic language? This is the book that Allah has revealed. He didn't reveal it in English. He didn't reveal it in Chinese. He revealed it in Arabic, Fusha. We don't have a priest class where only the imams know the language and just feed you. And whatever he feeds you, you get. But if you can't feed yourself, this is a book. It should be an individualized book. You and I should have a personal one-on-one with this book. And Allah reveals, Allama al-Qur'an. He teaches the Quran, and he does it over and over and over and over again throughout time. So if you understand the rudiments and the foundations of this language, Allah will teach you. Praise be to Allah. So I don't know the time. I see here it's getting close. Let me make dua. Rabbana atmim lana nurana waqfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Our Lord, complete our life for us. Forgive us, for surely you have power of all things at all times. Allahumma nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu 'alayka wa nufni 'alayka wa nashkuruka wa la nakfuruka. Oh Allah, we ask for your help. We seek your forgiveness. We believe in you. We trust in you, and we extol and exalt you in the best manner. We are thankful to you, Allah, and we are not ungrateful. I'm talking to Allah for myself, and hopefully you're talking to him for yourself too. Praise be to Allah. So I see the time has ran, but I do want to mention a couple more things, and I'll be concluding. We know the word fard in the Quran. It also is in other literature. We know it means obligatory. And we say, oh yes, the five salat are obligatory. Obligatory is a must that we do it. And we know for sure that we are instructed by Allah to establish salat ma'qutan at timed intervals. Praise be to Allah. But the reason why I mentioned fard is because I saw in the Quran an ayah that reveals by Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice I said reveal. I don't like to say in recent years that Allah said, because I know that Allah doesn't have tongue and vocal cords, right? So I don't want nobody to be thinking that Allah is a talker. So I say Allah reveals. And sometimes I catch myself and I say talk or said, praise be to Allah. It says here in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ. Surely, surely, it is he who obligated on you the Quran. He didn't obligate the English one. He obligated the Arabic Quran. Quran in Arabian. The pure recital. The pure proclamation. You hear I'm translating Arabi as pure. Pure and undefiled without any admixture. Most of the time they just say an Arabic Quran. No, this language has the properties of being pure and undefiled. How so? Because no one wanted to conquer the deserts of Arabia until the black gold started coming up, right? So they went from water hole to water hole for years and years and years, and they kept their language pure and unaffected by the going on in the other countries around the world. Praise be to Allah. And most of you who know something about Arabic know that if a word is allowed into the language, they put what they call a diptote on it. Certain structure that you know, that's not an Arabic word. There's so many word patterns in the language that you can identify as an Arabic word. But when you see a word that doesn't follow that pattern, you say, that must not be an Arabic word, you know. So they have safeguarded by Allah's grace the language of the Arabic language. The Bedouins, they are pure in their speech. And the Prophet reportedly said, I am the most eloquent of you who speak Lughatul Dawd, the language of the Dawd. So in closing, I want to go to the ayah 59:21. I had much more to say, but we know half an hour is a half an hour, and I see it right here on the rostrum here. And I do want to honor that, but if you would just indulge me for a few seconds here. Allah reveals, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ رَأَيْتَهُ خَشِيًا مُتَّصَدِّيًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ He begins this ayah with لَوْ. لَوْ means an if. So right away you should know that this is a mathal, right? Hypothetically if. And if I were to send down this Quran on a jabal, on a mountain. So you and I know that if this Quran that I have here, or if the gazelle skin that the Quran was written on years ago was put on that mountain, it would be unaffected by it. Why? Because the Quran was sent to us, the Homo sapien. And we know that the jinn can hear it and understand a little bit of it too, right? Or some of it, or maybe all of it. Praise be to Allah. Because we know that the jinn said, we heard a wonderful recital, right? Okay. So you and I have to translate this mountain real quickly. So this mountain, in the Arabic language, I saw it in the lexicon, if they want to say to you that you are a hard-headed person, you're stubborn, you're fixed on a particular way of life or idea, they say, who are Jabal? He's a mountain. In English, we say, oh, he's a rockhead. His heart is hard as a stone. Excuse me. His heart is hard as a stone, you know. So if you insert the idea, had Allah sent this Quran down on a hard-headed person like Abu Lahab, he's a classic example, right? He's the only one mentioned in the Quran as being a resident of Jahannam, right? This Quran was coming down for 23 years, or whatever number of years he lived, and he did not respond, and Allah foreknew that he wasn't going to respond. That's why he gave us the surah. So his wife is going to be there in the Jahannam, and he's going to be there too, right? So I believe, O Muslims, Allah is telling you and I that had he wanted to cause Abu Lahab to declare La ilaha illallah, he could have done so. Allah said he could have guided us all to the right, right? So I believe, O Muslims, that this is suggesting to you and I that we should know that everyone that we encounter is a potential Muslim if Allah ordains them to be so. And we have it here that you and I should reflect upon this one. Yet you got to think about this one. But I've heard people say, well, with God, all things are possible. He can put that Quran on that mountain, it's going to blow up. But Allah is letting you know, don't go there by putting Lao there. So there's much more I can say. But suffice it to say, I'm saying to you that this is a da'wah message in this particular ayah. You know, I was in the hotel the other day, and homosexual was, you know, over the desk there, you know. And I tried to be real nice to him with the thought, I'm going to set him up and give him a Quran before I leave here. But he got away before I came back. So, you know, hoping that Allah want him to be a Muslim, and I was going to give him this kitab. But inshallah, I may go by there before I go back and ask them to give him the Quran. But I was real nice to him, and he's, why is this dude so nice to me? He liked me or something? I hope he didn't think that, you know. But I'm just giving you an example of how if you have it in your mind that everyone is a potential Muslim, you'll be more open to giving out Qur'ans and delighting, inviting people to the message. And Allah tells us, Ud'u ila sabili. We have an obligation to call the people to the path. So I conclude with that, and I Mikdua Rabbi Habli Hukma wa Hikni Bisalihin Waj'alli Lisana Sidkin fi Akhirin Waj'alli Min Wabatati Jannatin Na'im Waghfir Li Abi Innahu Kana Min Ad-Dallin Wa La Tukhzini Yawma Yub'athun. Our Lord, bestow upon us wisdom, unite us with the righteous, grant us honorable mention on the tongue of truth among the latest for the generations. Make us inheritors of the garden of bliss and joy, and forgive our forefathers, for many of them were astray, darling, and do not let us be in disgrace on the day that the human family will be raised for the final judgment. Amen. You come.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Allah grant unto us the essence of this life and the essence of the life to come and save us from the penalty of the fire.
My topic today is Adam was taught the nature of everything. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah says in the Quran, wa 'allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha. That is, according to the Yusuf Ali translation, and he taught Adam the names of all things. Perhaps it would be better translated as, and he taught Adam the nature of all things in the universe. And I say this because I believe it's a natural thing that if we name a thing, we name it as a result of having understood the nature of the thing. The classic example is the verb balama, which means to wrong something, to oppress something, to put something in the wrong place, to put something in the dark. And the word zalim, which is the male ostrich, is derived from that particular verb root. Why? Because the ostrich bird was viewed or observed in the wild, and they saw the bird to be a bird that puts its head in the dark, so it was natural that they would call this particular ostrich bird valim, coming from the root valima, which means to put something in the dark or wrong something or to oppress something.
When Allah says that he taught Adam the names of things or the nature of things, and he said, kullaha, that means clearly that even Adam is the ability to know the nature of the whole Samawat. The whole Samawat, the seven heavens, the seven layers within Adam, genetically speaking, is the ability to understand the nature of Jupiter, the nature of Betelgeuse, is one of the big red stars that I learned about in sixth grade science class. Within Adam is the ability to go up into the highest regions of the universe and understand what's going on up there. And we have to give the Western world and the communist world credit in that they have sent some rocket ships up to the moon and probes to Jupiter and probes to Mars and places like that. But the potential is much greater for the human family. Another verse that will give us this reflection upon the fact that within Adam is the ability to go and understand the nature of the whole universe is where Allah says, وَسَقْوَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ فَعْيَاتٌ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْتَفَكَّرُونَ. And it is he who has subjected to you, as from him, all that is in the heavens and on earth. Behold, in this are signs for those who think and ponder. So we know sakara means to have something at your use and at your disposal. So Allah is clearly telling us, human family, that I didn't create Jupiter for nobody but you, Adam, and the jinn. So you say, wow, the jinn? This was created for the jinn too. Allah says in the Quran, in another spot, that he has created the heavens and the earth not for idle sport. And the jinn has the ability to worship God or not worship God. So we believe that this creation, this whole creation, is for the utility or the use of Adam. So if we have the ability to understand it, then we have the ability to get the use and the utility
out of it. Allah says, also speaking of the word Sakara, this beautiful thing that we say when we get into our cars and we get on our camels from way back when, we are commanded to say, Subhana Levi Sakara Lan Ahada, Fana Kunna Zahu Mukrimin, Wa Inna Ila Rabbina La Munfar. Boom. Praise be to Allah who has rendered this to our service. For surely we could not have done this by ourselves. And to our Lord, surely we are constantly in a state of returning. So this particular ayah, many refer to just something that you say when you are getting on a transportation mode, some car or plane or whatever. But we can see that the people of old, they had to see that we were going to have automobiles and we were going to have these sophisticated jets and rockets and all of that to the extent that we have it. But by them knowing those items where it says that Adam was taught the nature of all things, they knew that the human progress would evolve and evolve and evolve to the point of having the use of the second way. O Muslim, Allah says in the Surah 55, Allah al-Qur'an khalaqa al-insan. He taught the Qur'an. And after having taught the humanity the Qur'an, that's when the humanity really became the true human being with the due proportion nature to be able to go into the Samawat and understand and appreciate what Allah has given for our service. And we look at the reality that they send rocket ships up there many times. But what is the purpose a lot of times? Put a satellite up there to spy on the Palestinians. Put a satellite up there to spy on the Argentinians when they were fighting against the English people for the Falkland Islands years ago. They said, yes, America is providing logistic help, you see. Got a satellite up there, you know. So I just think about that thing. Well, the person who had the ability, or I was an astronaut, and I went up there for wicked purposes like that, I would be frightened to death to go up there knowing that I'm trying to place the satellite so that I can spy on someone and tell them where to put the bombs and where their artillery is stored and so on and so forth. So I said that to say that if Allah would allow anyone to go up there and subdue the whole creation, it would be those who have the taqwa. It would be the Muslims. So when we look at history, we look back and we see that the Muslims established the zero, the astrolabe, medicine, science, the dawning of the Renaissance. We look at all of that. We say, wow. They didn't do any of that until what? They were taught the Qur'an. So the Qur'an was the motivator, the thing that drove them to this. So, you know, when you look at, you know, the Qur'an, we appreciate it and we love it and we see the beauty and the majesty of it. But in order for us to really make the advancement that we must make, we have to be able to get the motivation and the spirit out of this Qur'an. And the only way that we can get the spirit of this Qur'an out of the Qur'an is learning a little bit of Arabic, the Arabic language. Just the other day I picked up a Qur'an and I saw the Urdu in the middle. And I had been told that the Urdu was using the Arabic script. So, wow, you know. And I go around different Muslims. And I know a lot of the people who speak the Urdu language can recite the Quran beautifully, but in terms of understanding the meaning, there's some lacking things that we have to deal with, not only in the Pakistani community, but all the communities, the African-American community, even the community of those who are considered Arabs. They have a whole lot of study and research that we have to make. And we know from the teachings that to be an Arab is not to be native-born, but to be an Arab is one who has command of the Arabic language. So we got Chinese Arabs, we got Pakistani Arabs, we got Arabs from all over. I'm not an Arab yet, so I'm not sure. But we have Arabs, so we have taken this language and caused it to transcend ethnicity. Why? Because Allah has done this. He says in the Quran, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. And we have revealed it as a pure recital in order that everyone will understand it. So the word Arabic, if you look at most of the translations, it's not translated. It's that we have it as an Arabic Quran in order that everybody will understand. So if we think it's rational, we'll say, well, hey, what does that mean? I speak Bengali. What do Allah mean when he says that he has put this as an Arabic Quran in order that everybody will understand? The word Arabic itself, Arabiyun, it means to be free from admixture. No admixture in the Arabic language. We know that they went from waterhole to waterhole for thousands of years, and no one came in to pollute their language. We know that the structure of the language is so beautiful that when they allow a foreign word to come in, they make it what they call in English a diptote, like Ibrahim, Ibrahimu. You never see a Dhamma Tanween on Ibrahim, right? It's a diptote, meaning it is a word that we said, okay, we're going to let it in. Why did they let it in? Because Ibrahim was our father. Ibrahim had to be let into their language, right? Maryam, some say that it's the Arabic word, some say that it's not. It's a word that we call a diptote too. What they see on Maryam is a factor and a double. No word. And there are other words in the Quran that we find that are what we call words that were allowed to come in, and they're not pure. So the Arab takes pride in keeping the language pure. Another spot in the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Almost the exact same ayah, but first he says he revealed it as a pure recital, then he says he made it a pure recital. So taking you back now to Adam. Within Adam was the ability to understand Alugatul Arabiyya, right? So I believe, O Muslim, that Allah is saying to us that if you want to look at all of the languages, French, the Latin, all of the languages you can think of, this one is most in accord with your fixed nature and all of the rest. This is the one that he has used as a medium of exchange between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jibril. And we as human beings have the brain capacity to understand Al-Lughatul Arabiyya. Very simple language, very structured and ordered. It's just so ordered. And it's structured in such a way, you know, that leaves room for the advancement of civilization. Quickly, kataba means he wrote. If you put a mean kasra on a word, and then you pick that root verb, it is an instrument that does writing, just by using the mean kasra in front of K, T, and B. So the word for typewriter was already sitting back, you know, in the language, structured already. So when the human being got off into making this machine that does writing, it's, oh, we'll call this Miktab. So we know that the typewriter is Miktab. Okay? Another example, Thakala means to weigh something. And we find that in the Quran, Mithkala Zawratin, the weight of an atom. So in those days, the weight of an atom was maybe something that was real light, like a mustard seed. A speck of dust, right? But the advance of civilization has already evolved as we speak to the point where we can wave at him, literally, wave at him. So a speck of dust has thousands, maybe millions, I'm not too much of a scientist, of atoms. A speck of dust, you talk about something small. A speck of dust has nothing. Right? So, atoms, A-T-O-M-S, all of them work for God. Right? Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. And God has power over all things. So if that is true, then that means that the A-D-A-M-S, that is the atoms, the human family, they are working for God, whether they know it or not, whether we know it or not. Even the oppressors are working for God because they cause opposite pressure on those who want to rise up and do the right thing. And it makes them stronger. It makes the Muslim stronger. So when you talk about the advancement of the human family, it will not come to its total realization until we are truly taught the Quran. And we're not talking about being taught the Quran in a way where we're looking at it from a fairy tale standpoint, or when we're taking something that's allegorical in the Quran and believing it to be literal. I heard a professor say one time that if it don't make sense, it's not Al-Islam. So we have a lot of knowledge to inherit. We got to get the people who are Muslims to be able to inherit the Tafsir books, or Ibn Kathir, and Shafkani, and Samaskari, and all of these people. We've got to get to the point where we learn the language so much so that we take what they have and understand it and cause the advancement to become more. So really, when you look at this, we have a lot of scientists. We got a lot of bachelors, I know, on the floor right today. But you and I cannot become the best doctor or the best scientist until we put the emphasis on getting the motivation and the drive of the Quran and have it in our spirit. And then when we do that, we'll be able to stay up for two nights at a time. We would have people who will say to you, well, I'm a doctor, I'm an astronomer, I'm a botanist. You know, have more than one field of science that you have really plowed deep in. In fact, there's a saying of Benjamin Franklin. He said, plow deep while the sluggards sleep. And that's what we have to do. We have to plow deep. We have to begin to have iktikaf as a master. I said this, I think, the last couple of days. A little 20 minutes here, talking here and there. You see your brother, your sister, you talk for a minute. That's not going to get it. We got to spend some time together and find out who has the money to bankroll the project, who has the knowledge to teach the Lughat al-Arabiyya. I know a lot of you know the language much better than me. I'd love to sit all night with some of you, you know. But these are the kind of things that we have to do if we expect to advance and, as I said, be able to understand the whole Sunday way. And you know what's so beautiful in closing? Here it is. Allah says that He has taught Adam the names or the nature of all things. And the root of the word for name is the same root of the word Sanawa. Names of the whole Sanawa. These two words are related together. If I said, like it says in the Quran, that the mother of Mary said, and I have named her Maryam. That same root is the root for the word Sanawa. So we see clearly that we are on a real low advancement in relationship to what we can accomplish as a human family. So, you know, we talk about journeying into the 21st century, the millennium and all of that. And a lot of times we as Muslims, we get caught up in that millennium stuff. They're talking about 2,000 years from Isa ibn Maryam. Not to take away from Isa, but it's more significant to them than it is for the Muslims. I think we live in, what, 1419 or 1420 after the Hijra. I'm not sure. I need to know that. So that's going to be a good example right there. Here it is. I don't know how many years after the Hijra that we are, you know, into right now. So I told myself, right from now on, I'm going to know what year it is after the Hijra. So probably the average one of us right here on the floor, we're more aware of the millennium than we are aware of how many years we are from the Hijra. So I just said that to say that we as Muslims we are constantly trying to develop ourselves. We don't want a particular year to mark spiritual. We think we got to really become more advanced because we're going to 21st century. We should continually always be in a state of advancing and getting better and better and utilizing what God has put out here for the whole world. So we go from being a Muslim to a Muslim to a Muslim, I believe. And Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He never says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He never says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said he loves the doers of good. So we take our submission and our faith and our trust and we usher it into action. And those are the ones Allah said he really loves. And we know he also said he loves the patient, the those who purify themselves. But I find it very interesting, he didn't say that he loved the Muslims. He didn't say he loved the believers. He loved those who are active, who are into a mode of taking what they have within their own being and pumping it into others, giving others the drive and the motivation, just like I'm talking to you today. Or a basketball player that wants to be a great basketball player. If he sees Michael Jordan, Sam Duncan, and all of that, he looks at him and he gets motivation. I want to be like Mike. So he'll go and he'll run 20 miles every day, right? So when a person gives you some inspiration from what the value of Islam is, you can get a little inspiration from me talking. But the greatest motivation and the greatest drive and the greatest spirit that we can muster is coming directly from the Quran. And Allah, in closing, Allah says, وَكَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ يَلْقُلُ يَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And the words of God are exalted to the height. And he is the precious, the mighty, the wise.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it is for anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's S-I-D-D-E-Q, at msn.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.